Morning. Let's turn our Bibles to John chapter 21, verses 15 through 19. John 21, verses 15 through 19. So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Shepherd my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will gird you and bring you where you do not wish to go." Now this he said, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." Amen. If I can show the video, please. I have a little video I wanted to show us.
Grace is God's unmerited favor for us, His crazy love. And the truth is, many times we struggle understanding it. If you find yourself struggling to understand God's grace, don't beat yourself up. Even the disciples struggled with understanding grace.
"Jesus, is that you? You're alive! I can't believe you're alive! Okay, I was in the boat and I wasn't catching any fish, okay? But I heard this voice and the voice said, 'Cast your net to the other side.' And so I'm thinking, I'm a fisherman, I know what I'm doing, but I'm not catching any fish, you know? And so I throw that net over there and then a gaggle of fish pop into that net and I'm going, 'This is a total miracle. Who could have done that? I need to know who told me to throw the net to the other side.' And boom, I look up and I mean, there is you. You're looking at me on the seashore going, 'It is I, the Lord, and you're alive. I can't believe you're alive. This is awesome. Andrew, get out of the boat. Come on.
Peter,
yeah.
Do you love me?"
"Yes, I love you. I love you. You're alive. This is so great."
"Good, then feed my sheep."
"Andrew, get out of the boat. Come on, man. It's him."
"Peter."
"Yeah."
"Do you love me?"
"I love you, yes. And I'm so sorry about that rooster clucking. I had no idea what that meant, but I do not. I'm better for it, all right? Okay."
"Good, then feed my sheep."
"Andrew, I'm smiling, but I'm serious. Come on, get out of the boat. It's him."
"Peter."
"Yeah."
"Do you love me?"
"Jesus, mere words cannot describe the passion that I have for you. I love you. You know everything. I love you."
"Good. Good. Then feed my sheep."
"I didn't even know you had livestock. That is so like you, though. There's something new about you all the time. That's what I love about you."
"Peter."
"Yeah."
"Do you remember the morning the ladies went to the tomb?"
Yeah. "We're all in the upper room trying to figure out what to do next, you know, because we thought you were dead. You know, you were dead, you know, and we're trying to figure all that out, you know. And Mary comes running up and Mary's like saying, 'Beehive, beehive, beehive.' And I'm thinking, I'm allergic to bees. Like, keep them out. You know what I'm saying? But as she kept getting closer, I heard her correctly. She was saying, 'He's alive, he's alive, he's alive.' And we're going, 'Who's alive? Who's alive?' And she said, she was at the tomb and the tomb was empty. And she said that there was an angel there. And the angel said, 'Go tell the disciples and Peter that everything is okay. He is risen.' And so me and John, we hightailed it down there. And if John says he beat me, he's totally lying, all right? I beat him, FYI, all right, you know? And we get down there and I'm looking in that tomb and it is empty. There's nothing in there, you know what I'm saying? And I'm like, 'What does this mean? What does this mean?' And John is right there. John is so good with words. He should write a book. He is so good with words. And John said, 'Don't you get it, Peter? This is everything Jesus said he was going to do, and you did it, and it's done. Let's go. This is so great.'"
"Wait, yeah. The angel said what?"
"Go tell the disciples and Peter that everything is okay. He is risen. You've risen. Let's go. This
he
is
He said what?
Go tell the disciples and Peter." "Go tell the disciples and Peter. You said my name. Why did you say my name?
Peter, that's grace.
No, I don't deserve that, because that night people kept coming up to me asking me if I belonged to you, if I was with you, and I kept denying you left and right, all right? No, it'll take me my whole life to make up for what I did. It was unforgivable for what I did.
No. What I did on the cross was meant to take what is unforgivable and make it forgivable. That's my grace. It's not about you. It's always about me. That's grace, Peter.
Amen. Thank you. I want to talk about, because I've been, whenever I get a chance to speak at EMP, I've been talking about Peter, kind of going through his life, and this is a long time ago, but last time I spoke, it was on the rise and fall of Peter, meaning, you know, he has that great moment where he confesses, Jesus, you're the Messiah, the Son of God, and then the next moment, Jesus tells him, get behind me, Satan, right? So there's that fall because he's so self-centered and self-focused. And then I wanted to continue on talking about Peter, but then RT was here this past Sunday and he spoke about Peter. And so I thought, you know, maybe I'll just follow. So he talked about the denial, right? Peter denies Jesus. And so I wanted to just kind of come back to this point of where Jesus restores Peter. And so we read the story, we've watched the skit. In Mark chapter 16, verse 7, it says, go tell his disciples and Peter. So it's scriptural, right? The angels come in Mark 16, though in Mark's account, the angels come and the angel tells the women, go tell his disciples and Peter. He's going ahead of you to Galilee. And I never noticed it until I watched this skit and how Jesus singles out Peter. Because Peter was probably feeling the worst of all the disciples. Of all the disciples, he's probably the most guilty, ashamed, and worried about what Jesus might say if he were there. And so he singles him out. Go tell everybody, but make sure you tell Peter that I've risen and that I'm coming for you. So I want to talk about it. But let's go back to the John account in John 21. Go tell the disciples and Peter. I guess in one sense, I wonder if Peter was thinking, oh, he singled me out. Like, I'm in real trouble now, you know? Not like, oh, he remembers me, but more like, it's like, go tell the staff and Janella that some of you are late to EMP. And Janella would go, oh, PCM is going to get me now, you know? Like, I'm in trouble. I wonder if Peter, that's how Peter was thinking. Like, I'm in real trouble now. And then Jesus singles him out again. Jesus says, hey, Peter, come over here. They're having I think they're having breakfast together, right? They're having breakfast together. After breakfast, Jesus basically is like, pulls Simon Peter aside and says, hey, let me talk to you for a second. Oh, man. He could have felt, I'm just thinking about it now, but he could have felt so worried, you know? Isn't it true? Whenever someone from authority gives you a text message and says, hey, Will, or hey, Jason, hey, can we have a short call? If PSAM ever says to me, hey, Nate, can we meet for a little bit? My initial reaction is, what did I do wrong? You know, what? Am I in trouble? So maybe Peter, I mean, he knows he's in trouble. He's like, oh, shoot. Okay, Jesus, let's chat. And then Jesus says, do you love me? And you know what I notice is Peter's response. I mean, maybe I'm reading into the text too, but I feel like it changes. It goes from a place of defensiveness to humility, where Jesus says, do you love me more than these? And Peter says, yeah, Jesus, you know that I love you. You know that I love you. You know, kind of like, come on, you know that I love you. A little defensive, you know, like, I know everything happened, but come on, you know that I love you. Two times it says, you know that I love you. You know that I love you. But in the third time, he adds something, right? He says, Do you love me? He said a third time. And in verse 17, Peter says to Jesus, Lord, you know all things. You know all things. You know that I love you. And I think when he says, you know all things, in my interpretation of it is now he's giving up trying to defend himself to Jesus. Now he's given up being defensive. Now he's given up saying, you know that I love you. Oh, come on, you know that I love you. Now he's saying, oh, I admit to what I've done. You know all things. So what does he know? What does Jesus know? You know all things. You know all things. You know that I love you. What does Jesus know? Jesus knows his failure, right? Jesus knows the night when the rooster crowed and Peter denied him three times. So Peter could be referring to that. Lord, you know all things. You know how a few nights ago I denied you, right? Just like the video. All these people were coming to me. I got worried and scared and you know what happened. But what else does Jesus know? Lord, you know all things. You know all things. Jesus knows his weaknesses, right? Jesus knows Peter's deepest weakness. And not only the fact that he failed and denied, but why he failed, right? He knows the weaknesses of Peter. Like, what are his struggles? What are his deepest kind of shortcomings and weaknesses? What else does Jesus know? Jesus knows Peter's deepest fears. You know how Jesus knows how Peter is so fearful of man. Right? We see Peter's fear of man coming into play a few times, even later on, even after the coming of the Holy Spirit. In Galatians, Paul will say how Peter feared man, feared the opinion of man, so he changed kind of his practice of eating with non-Jews, right? When Jewish believers came, he stopped eating with the Gentiles because he kind of wanted the approval of man. So Peter is saying, Lord, you know how I failed? You know that I'm weak in this area. And you know my fears. You know my deepest fears, how I crave the approval of man. How I'm so afraid of what people might say about me. And Lord, you know all things. Lord, you know all things. And Peter, I think, is saying, Lord, you know the even more wicked things and shameful things that I've done. I mean, when we look at Peter's life, all we know is this denial, and we think that's got to be the worst thing that he's done. But probably, he's probably done worse things. He's probably done things that's even more shameful. You know, if we were to look back at his life, and Peter is saying, Lord, you know all of that. You know how I failed you that night, a few nights ago, but you know just my weakness, God. You know how weak I am, and you know my deepest fears, how afraid I am of people, and you know my deepest, darkest secret. You know everything that I have done and how shameful, the shameful things that I have done. But at the same time, when Peter says, Lord, you know all things, what he's also saying is, Lord, but you also know my heart of sincerity. Like, you know that I'm sincere. You know that all those nights ago when I said to you, I will never leave you, I was being sincere. I had a real desire. I was really sincere and I really, really thought that I could do this. I wasn't just trying to bluff, you know, I wasn't lying. I wasn't deceiving you. You know that this is what I desired, that I'm sincere in my love for you. I looked up the definition of sincerity on Google, and it's this: the absence of pretense, the absence of deceit, the absence of hypocrisy, right? So he wasn't being deceitful. He wasn't pretending when he said, I love you, I'll follow you, I'll be with you. And some synonyms are honesty, genuineness, truthfulness, trustworthiness, wholeheartedness, seriousness, earnestness. He was serious, he was earnest, he was wholehearted in his love for Jesus, but his love for Jesus was imperfect. His love for Jesus was immature, Right? And we need to draw the distinction between sincere love and immature love. Mike Bickle, the founder of International House of Prayer, he says we need to distinguish there is sincere love and then there is mature love. When we start off with our relationship with Jesus and we encounter Him, we have a sincere love for Him that says, Jesus, I love You. When we sing those songs, you know, how I love You, how I love You. My Jesus, I love Thee. It's sincere, but it's weak. You know, it's immature. When temptations come, when trials come, when difficulties come, sometimes we fail, right? Sometimes we forsake Jesus for this other thing because our love is immature, but Jesus knows our heart, right? Jesus knows our heart, and to Jesus, even an immature love that is sincere, it counts to Him. He knows your heart, and so He doesn't reject our love because it's immature, because it's weak. He looks at our love and He sees our heart, and He sees that, man, you are weak, but I know that your heart is real, you're genuine, you're wholehearted when you confess to Me that you love Me and that you will follow Me. How many times do we sing those songs? I will follow You, you know, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back, and probably that very same day, we turn back. But when we're singing that song, as best as we can, if we are wholehearted, and we're not pretending, and we're not being deceitful. You know if you're being deceitful, and Jesus knows if you're being deceitful. You know if you're being sincere, Jesus knows if you're being sincere. And I think if your love is sincere, just as Jesus was to Peter, He will come to you with grace, and He will restore. You know, He'll restore us. If we can come to Him with humility and say, ah, Jesus, You know all things. You know, it's like a giving up. It's like, ah, You know how I failed You. You know how I've messed up. You know how I've blown it. But you know that my heart was real. And Jesus knows. You know, you can't fake it. You can't deceive Jesus. And He knows your heart. And then He will come in His grace and He'll restore you. He'll say, yes, I know. I know, feed My lamb, right? Go back to the calling that I've given to you. In Matthew 26, verse 35, Peter says to Jesus, this is the very scene where Peter is saying to Jesus, I will never deny You. Jesus says, you will all fall away. And Peter says, hey, even though all of these guys will fall away, I will never fall away. I will never betray You. And then Jesus says to him, truly I say to you, this very night before the rooster crows, you will deny Me three times. And you know what Peter says to Him in verse 35? Even if I have to die with You, I will not deny You. And all the disciples said the same thing. But He says, even if I have to die with You, I will not deny You. And you know what I see in that is Peter has this longing to give his life for Jesus. I know it sounds strange, but in some ways, I think it's Peter's dream, so to speak, to be able to come to that place where he can say, I'm going to die for Jesus. You know how you can love somebody so much that the thought of sacrificing something for that person, that's like the greatest desire that you have. And I can imagine Peter is thinking, now I'm not worthy. I had the opportunity to die for Jesus. I had the opportunity to give my life for Jesus, but I blew it. And he's thinking, I'm not worthy. You know, my wife came back from Korea yesterday, last night, like 2:30 a.m. And I could have gone to the airport, you know. I could have said to her, hey, honey, you know, I love you so much. I'm so excited for you to come back. I'll go to the airport. right? And if I were to say that, Mon would be very happy. She would be like, that's great, that's great. But let's say during the week that she's gone, we just have a big fight. For whatever reason, I disappointed her, I failed her, I betrayed her, you know? And then what would she say to me? She would say, and then I would feel like, oh, I want to go to the airport. But she might say, don't even bother coming, you know? Don't even bother coming to the airport. I don't even want to see you. I don't care that it's a sacrifice for you. I don't even want to see you. And I imagine Peter is thinking, that's how Jesus is thinking. Like, I want to die for you, but Jesus is saying, you're not even worthy to die for me. Right? You've blown it. But you know what Jesus says to Peter? After he says, feed my lambs, feed my lambs, feed my lamb. The next thing that Jesus says to Peter basically is, you're going to die for me. And I think Jesus is restoring Peter's dream, you know? I mean, the one thing that Peter desired in his following of his Messiah, of his master, was that he would be counted worthy to suffer for him and to die for him. And now he's thinking, I'm not worthy of that, but Jesus revives that dream and says, Peter, I know that your love was weak, but I know that your love is real, and you will come to a place where you actually will give your life for me. And I just think that's amazing. You know, how often we come to a place and we feel like God's given us a calling, or God's given us a dream, or God's given us a desire to do something for him, and then we blow it, you know, we mess up, we miss opportunities, and then we just think, oh, I just can't, you know, I'm not good enough, or I'm not worthy to do something. And then Jesus, if we were to go to him and hear from him what he is saying, he would restore that for us. I just have one more thing and we'll stop. In Numbers chapter 24, chapter 22, 23, 24, around that time, the people of Israel are in the plains of Moab, about to enter into the promised land. And Balak, the leader of Moab, is kind of worried because he's heard the stories of the people of Israel and how God is with them and they're defeating all the other nations around them. And so what Balak does is he hires this prophet, but he's not a prophet of the Lord, but he's a prophet. He hears from God. It's a weird story, but he hires this guy named Balaam to come and basically curse the people of Israel. And so Balaam comes. You got to read the story. I'm really shortening it. Balaam comes. Balaam basically says to Balak, hey, I know you want me to curse them, but I can't say whatever I want to say. I can only say what God wants me to say. And so Balaam proceeds to go to God and says, and ask God basically, like, how can I curse these guys? And God says, don't curse them, bless them. And then, so Balaam pronounces a blessing, and Balak says, what are you doing? Let's go to this other place, see if you can curse them here. Balaam pronounces a blessing. A third time, Balak says, no, curse them. Balaam hears from God, and he can only hear his blessing, so he blesses them. And Balak says in chapter 24, verse 10, Balak's anger burned against Balaam, and he struck his hands together, and Balak said to Balaam, I called you to curse my enemies, but behold, you have persisted in blessing them these three times. But you know, in the very next chapter, in Numbers 25, what do we read? The people of Israel are rebelling against God. In that very place, they are committing idolatry, and they're turning away from God. They're forsaking the Lord. And so, when we read it, we think, man, this is the perfect place and time for God to curse them. Because at that very moment, they're turning away from God and they're giving themselves over to these idols. It would be right, natural, for God to say, you know what, Balaam? Curse them. Because look at them. They're right at this very moment, they're turning away from me. They're forsaking me. They're committing idolatry. The very thing I've told them not to do. They're rebelling against me. But yet, while the Israelites are rebelling and forsaking God and committing idolatry, and these other people group are wanting to curse them, God is God's heart for the people of Israel is God is protecting them from the curses of Balak, and instead he's pronouncing these blessings over them. And, you know, I think what happens for many of us is we often expect a curse from God. We often expect, like, we fail, we mess up, and we fall short, and we are not good enough Christians, and we often expect a curse from God, yet what God has for us is only blessing, you know? Balak expected a curse for these people, but what God had for them was only blessing, and many times we expect a curse from God. We think, oh man, God is probably disappointed with me, and he wants to say this, but what he really wants to say is a blessing. You know, I don't really remember exactly what the context was. I think it was in a house church meeting, and the message was something related to this topic, and the question was, hey, if God could come to you, if Jesus could come to you right now, and he could say one thing to you, what do you think he would say? You know, and when I was asking this question, I was very excited because I thought these people, my house church members, they know the heart of God. They know the heart of the Father. And we're going to hear some amazing things that they think that God is going to speak over them. But yeah, I was so shocked because so many people, when they said, oh, the one thing that God would say to me is, I want you to pray more. Or I want you to be more bold in sharing the gospel. I want you to do this better, and I want you to do that better. And I was so surprised. I was like, that's what you think God would say to you? If God were to come to you and he could say one thing to you, you think he would come and say to you that you're not good enough? You know, that if you could just do this one thing, then I would be satisfied with you. And but I think that's the reality. For many of us, many Christians, we feel like if God could say one thing, he has a curse. Yeah, not a curse necessarily, but a rebuke. But what God, his heart for us instead is blessing, you know? What he has for us is only blessing. Just like Peter, just like Peter. He expected a curse, he expected a rebuke. He expected to be, you know, have a real rebuke from God, but Jesus just restored him. So if we could have Janella come and lead us in a song. I just wanted us to spend some time this morning asking the Lord to speak to us. You know, let's go to God and say, God, I mean, I don't know what you're going through. Maybe your life is going really well. That's great. But maybe you feel like Peter in some ways. Maybe you feel like, oh, I haven't been very good. Well, no matter what the case is, I think it's always good for us to come to the Father, and just ask him to speak. You know, Father, how do you feel about me? You know, what do you want to say to me right now? What do you want to say to me right now? And, yeah, so let's just spend a moment. And you have to hear from God. Because a lot of times we expect, like, oh, yeah, I know. And we kind of just think that, oh, this is what God will say to me. Oh, God will say, oh, he loves me. You know, but God will surprise you if you come to him and you sincerely ask him, Lord, what is it you want to say to me right now? He will surprise us with something that we weren't even expecting, and we know that it's from God. So, Father, I just come to you right now, and we come as a church. Thank you. I just pray for each person right now. Father, would you come and just speak a word over us, God? Even... Yeah, just speak a word over us, God. I just pray that we would hear from you. Hear from you. How do you feel about us right now? God, what is a word that you have for us right now? God, would you come and speak? Thank you.
Oh, Thank you.
God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your love for us this morning. Thank you for your love for us this morning. Thank you that the curse that we deserve has been put upon Jesus Christ on the cross, that you became cursed in our behalf, God. Paid for our sin, paid for our mistakes, paid for our shortcomings. You've paid for our weaknesses, God. And that's really the only reason why. Also, the only reason how we can be forgiven and know with full assurance that you receive us despite our weakness and our immaturity and our failures, God. Thank you. Thank you that the price has been paid for us. I just pray that every single person here would go in the blessing of God. Lord, that they would hear a blessing from the Father this morning, not a curse. Not a curse, God. Not something that says, oh, we will never amount to anything, or you never achieve this, we'll never be able to do this for God, or we'll never be restored. The dream, the calling will never be restored. But Lord, that there will be a blessing from you. There'll be a blessing from you, a promise from you, an encouragement from you this morning. Thank you. Let's pray for our church together. Let's pray for those of us that are battling cancer or going through chemo or some kind of radiotherapy or going through surgery related to cancer. Let's just pray for God's healing to come. Let's pray for God's strength upon our friends, and let's just continue to lift up these situations in faith. Let's pray. Father God, pray for those in our community that is going through some kind of an illness, but also in need of salvation. They don't know Jesus. Let's pray that that their eyes would be opened. That they'll be able to see the grace of God, the mercy of God, the glory of God, and they would give their lives to the Lord and also receive healing. So let's pray for our friends. Church community that's just going through various infirmities. Let's pray for healing. Let's pray for strength. Let's pray for encouragement for our friends. Thank you. Let's pray for those that are looking for a job. Let's pray for God's provision for our friends. Let's go to our Tuesday prayer focus, and let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's pray for our government. Let's pray for the wealth gap here, that there will be something that is done to bless and take care of the poor here in our city. Let's pray for all these different churches and ministries that we support, that we partner with, that God will anoint them and also provide for all of their needs. Let's pray for a few of the issues here, the young people, students who are so hopeless that they're taking their lives. Let's pray against that. Let's pray for the domestic helpers. Let's pray for families in distress, that God's peace would come over them. So let's just pray for our city. For the staff, many of the staff are away, actually. P. Sam, P. Kenny, Cadence, all of their families in Singapore this week. Let's just pray for a nice time, holiday for them. P. Sam will be ministering there over the weekend. So let's pray for anointing for them. Let's pray for everyone just to be full of faith, full of intimacy with God. Everything that we do would flow out of intimacy with God and relationship with God. And let's pray that we would work well together in unity and work hard, and that God will give us wisdom to make good decisions for the church. Let's pray for the staff. Hospitality team, welcoming and barista. Let's pray for a real heart of hospitality to flow out of them, and people would feel a sense of belonging as they come to the church through these ministries. Let's pray. Thank you. Let's pray for our worship, sound, and AV team. Let's pray that they would, all three, would work well together in unity to really, first, to please God and to glorify God, and second, to really bless the church and help the church enter into an encounter with God. So let's just pray for that, and let's pray especially for the people serving on the stage, the worship team, that what they do on Sunday would be an overflow of their private worship. So let's pray for this ministry. Lastly, let's just pray for our Myanmar mission trip. They're coming back sometime this week. They're right in the middle of it right now. So let's just pray for God's protection and God's anointing. Let's pray for team unity. Let's pray for team health. And let's pray that they would just minister so powerfully, and that God would really move through every ministry opportunity that they have. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for this prayer time. We thank you that you hear our prayers. We thank you that you are here and that we can sit with you this morning and we can hear from you this morning again. Help us to hear what the Father is saying to us, God. And thank you so much for your heart of grace and mercy. Thank you that you receive even a weak and immature and imperfect love that we have for you. I just pray that our love for you would be sincere, God, that there would be no pretense, there would be no deceit, God, there will be no nothing fake, Lord, as we come before you. Help us to be sincere. Help us to sincerely love you, a wholehearted love for you, God. So come, Holy Spirit, walk with us today. We thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day. Enjoy your time of prayer this morning.